Hi, I'm Kim Vu. Welcome to Vietnola, the show about being Vietnamese in New Orleans. Vietnola is our window into our Vietnamese community in New Orleans and a bridge to Vietnam. We're a member of the family of shows on the podcast network, itsneworleans.com. Xin chào quý vị. Đây là bài Vietnola chương trình phát hành về cộng đồng Việt Nam ở New Orleans. Vietnola là một cánh cửa để nhìn vào cộng đồng ở New Orleans và một cánh nối với quê hương. Vietnola là một số trình diễn trong chương trình phát hành podcast itsneworleans.com. Today on the show, we'll have a conversation with Susan Pfefferly, a native New Orleanian freelance writer, film producer, and avid traveler. Susan's work has appeared in such publications as Where You At Magazine, New Orleans Living, Louisiana Cooking, Sugar Journal, and Travel Host New Orleans. In 2012, Suzanne wrote and produced a documentary called Vietnamese Food in New Orleans, which was aired on PBS. She recently published a companion piece in print by the same name and has come here today to talk about the book and her experience with Vietnamese cuisine. Suzanne, thank you so much for coming and welcome.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the format of your book. I liked the mix of the history, anecdotes, and anecdotes from active community members and in the Vietnamese and the non-Vietnamese community, including local celebrity chef John Besh. And I especially enjoyed the fact that you put in recipes there. Can we back up a little bit and can you share with us what the impetus for this subject matter was? How did you get to the point you are of, for our listeners, you're Caucasian and your last name sounds very much not Vietnamese. So share with us how
German.
You got there.
Yes, my last name is German, means a little pepper. I think I've said that on one of the shows. But anyways, I guess to go all the way back, this began when I was working on the West Bank at a publishing company. And we were within a mile of Tan Dinh, Fatal Bay, and a couple of other Vietnamese restaurants. And so my lunch break, I would go to these places. And that was sort of my introduction to the cuisine.
What year was this?
This was maybe 2008, 2009, okay. Around there. And in the beginning, I would try very basic dishes, just pho, fresh summer rolls, and that sort of thing. And share food with friends, and so wasn't really as adventurous with the cuisine as I am now, you know, about trying new foods. It was really my trip to Vietnam, which was November 2010, and I went with two friends from high school, two girlfriends. One was living in New Zealand and moving back to New Orleans and traveling throughout Asia. Another one had been teaching in Hanoi and had been in Vietnam for about a year, and so we all met in Saigon and traveled from Saigon to Da Lat and then Mui Ne on the coast, and I'm probably not saying it right, but so that was when I really got into the cuisine and was just trying all sorts of different foods. Even if I wasn't really sure about what it was, it looked good, it smelled good, so I would try it.
What was the most daring thing that you tried when you were in Vietnam?
Let's see. I don't even know what the name would be. To me, it looked kind of like a chicken pho gà, but it had all of the parts in there. So some sort of a noodle soup. And quail eggs, which, I mean, you can find in source here and at the Vietnamese Lunar New Year at New Orleans East, but I had never really seen them before Vietnam.
The partially fertilized ones. Those ones that you can still see, they look like birds? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Okay. These were just more like hard-boiled eggs. Smaller, but they would sell them almost like in Ziploc bags, like in bulk. And so we would just find them and just buy them as a snack and just walk around eating those. A lot of like tapioca-type desserts with coconut shavings on them and things like that.
Well, when you were in the West Bank going to work there, were your colleagues, I mean, were you a lone ranger in this department?
There was another girl that I worked with whose boyfriend had spent time in Vietnam. And so she knew a little bit about Vietnamese food, and she was actually the person that I was with who was like, oh, you have to try this pho. You know, it's very, it's a good introduction into Vietnamese food. And so I was with her when I first tried it. And we also had a Vietnamese intern. And so we would go to some of these restaurants and just try, like, split a few different dishes and go from there.
At the time, you were a journalist, correct?
I was working for Pelican Publishing.
Okay.
And it's a book publishing company. Uh-huh. But I was also freelancing, freelance writing at the time for different local magazines. I wrote an article for Where You At about Vietnamese food a few years ago.
And before you started trying Vietnamese food, what kind of things were you writing about? Were you a food writer?
No, I was not a food writer. I wouldn't consider myself a food writer at this point.
You would or would not?
Would not.
Oh, okay.
To me, the book, Vietnamese Cuisine in New Orleans, and the film is more about the Vietnamese, how the Vietnamese community in New Orleans East came to be, a little bit about their cultural traditions.
With in the food, West, you were fair.
That's
you
right.
You gave a good chunk to the community in the West
thank
as well.
You. Food to me was sort of like the underlying theme, and of course the dominant theme. But when it comes down to breaking down the food and a technical aspect, I do that a little bit, but I try not to get too involved with it. Mm-hmm. Because it's sort of like an introduction to Vietnamese cuisine for people who may not be as familiar with it as others, but also for foodies. Some of the recipes are more advanced than others. I talk about dishes that people may not be as inclined to order, you know, instead of like a pho or a banh mi. And so it's a mixture of both.
Recently on this side of the Industrial Canal and this side of the river, there's been a lot of interest and influx of Vietnamese restaurants. I would say the vast majority are very much geared for non-Vietnamese or people not of Vietnamese descent. And I have been a little bit surprised in general because, you know, as a Vietnamese American, we grow up thinking our life is boring to everyone else. What do you think has caused a kind of a newfound interest in Vietnamese cuisine? I mean, Vietnamese immigrants have been living in New Orleans since the 70s, and you wrote a book about this community and this eating tradition. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that curiosity comes from?
I think it's a combination of things. Even before I produced the film and wrote the book, people were writing about it, and I think it was that there was a growing awareness of these Vietnamese restaurants on the West Bank in New Orleans East and also in Kenner. Some of the people I interviewed, like Ian McNulty, who writes for The Advocate and wrote for The Gambit at one time, and the guys from Blackened Out Media, they had been writing about Vietnamese cuisine for a little while. I think people were familiar with it or becoming familiar with it, but not maybe, you know, in a rush to go out to New Orleans East and try something. So when they started opening these restaurants in areas in Uptown and in Mid-City, then I think the momentum began building. But also, there's that healthy aspect, the pho and the fresh summer rolls and some other dishes, that I think is appealing to people, kind of the way sushi rolls are.
Mm-hmm. I liked your anecdote of taking, kind of being the lead amongst your family and friends in Vietnamese cuisine. And it sounds like your family is very much a traditional New Orleans family, and there being a lot of curiosity. And I think at one point, either a friend or relative said, "This spring roll, do you take the skin off? Is it edible? Can you eat it?"
Yeah, that was my grandma. She she's in her late 80s, and I think she has lived so much these past few years. She went out to the Vietnamese Tet Festival a couple of weeks ago, and she's amazed by the dragons and trying these different foods. But working on the film and the book, I started making some basic dishes and started with fresh summer rolls, and so. I was at my parents' house, and she was there while I was making them, and she didn't know if she was supposed to unwrap the rice paper again and pull the ingredients out, and it's like, no, it's edible. You eat it all together. And my brother, who is very much, you know, just, you know, red beans and rice and that kind of thing, crawfish etouffee kind of guy, he's like, it seems really green and, you know, whatever. But everyone ends up eating it and likes it, so it's like, just give it a try.
I liked in your book the way you described Vietnamese food as Creole food as well, and a mix of cultures. Explore a little more what you were thinking with that theory.
I think much of what I was referring to is maybe some of the French influences and also Chinese influence with the noodle culture. But at least in New Orleans and what I saw in the southern part of Vietnam was a very strong French influence with the baking and some of those baking traditions that maybe weren't there before. But also with the pho, some people say maybe it was derived from pot au pho, which is a French dish.
Oh, interesting. I never thought of that.
To where, you know, you just throw in a bunch of fresh produce and meat into the pot and you boil it all together over a long period of time. Add some bread loaves in there and dip it into the sauce. And especially in New Orleans, you know, with some of these new restaurants that are opening. Mofo, for example, is kind of like a New Orleans Vietnamese food fusion type place. Mm-hmm. And I actually interviewed the guy last night, and it's sort of a mix of both cuisines. And so
I'm nervous at that thought, to be honest with you. I mean, I definitely think that there are overlaps, like the Vietnamese sandwich that here is referred to as the Vietnamese po boy.
Mm-hmm.
Or the use of seafood and crawfish. And I don't know if I can picture, like, what I think of New Orleans food is like heavy sauces with Vietnamese food. It's hard for my brain to wrap around.
Yeah, I agree in ways. I mean, I think that's true. I don't think it applies to certain dishes. The New Orleans dishes like the etouffee or things like that where you have thick sauces. I mean, I don't really see similarities between mm-hmm. those types of foods and Vietnamese cuisine. The Vietnamese po boy or the banh mi, I think a lot of the similarities are with the bread and then also the way that the sandwich is dressed.
The pâté, for sure,
is a French influence. The charcuterie.
Right. And I think it's funny, in fact, carrots were introduced to Vietnam through, I think, maybe the Spanish, either the French or the Spanish, trades when it was part of the trade route, and cilantro as well. And it's such a staple. And the French bread is such a staple of Vietnamese food.
Mm-hmm.
And there are places in Vietnam where people don't even realize that that bread comes from France, you know, because it's so much recognized right. as part of Vietnamese cuisine. Or the coffee with the condensed milk. Or there was actually even a more recent story about the making of that movie Indochine with Catherine Deneuve, who was made in the maybe in the 90s, and she lived there to make the movie. It was made in the north, and she was really into yogurt, and that's really not a part of Vietnamese cuisine. So she had somebody teach someone in Hanoi how to make yogurt. And so now it's like, it was when I lived there, you know, I think 15 years after she made the movie, it was ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
In Hanoi to be able to get fresh made yogurt, and it was really good because there weren't any preservatives in it because refrigeration wasn't super common,
right?
And yeah, as recently as the 90s, you know, there's items still brought to Vietnam and then made into something local.
Huh.
I know, funny, isn't it?
That's interesting.
I want to hear a bit more about your special treatment of pho in the book. I think it's great. But first, I'd like to go to our segment, Vietiquette, where we explore the quirks and charm of culture and etiquette, both here in Vietnamese New Orleans and Vietnam. I asked you to share some things that you thought are kind of funny or interesting that you've noticed in Vietnamese culture, and you had two that really resonated with me. One was taking off of shoes. When did you first encounter that, here or in Vietnam?
In Vietnam, the moment I got there, we were staying, it wasn't technically a hotel, it was called a guest house, which means it's owned by the family and they're always there and you have a little room. It's nicer than like a hostel would be, but even...
maybe like a B&B or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so most of the people that stay there are going to be Westerners, but you still are expected to take off your shoes at the door. And I love that tradition. And you go up to your room and you come back down and they're still there. And it's just, after a while, you get used to it. And it's just sort of, you know, it's you don't even give a thought to it. You know, when you go somewhere, you just automatically take your shoes off. And working on the book with a couple of families here, it was the same tradition, going to their house and taking the shoes off and leaving them at the front door.
But by then you were a pro.
So. Oh, of course. You know. But I loved how they, you know, people have kept those traditions intact. So mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
And this I have not, I'm not aware of. I haven't lived in Vietnam in 15 or so years. But, and I was living there not at a time where things like red wine were really common there. But apparently nowadays it sounds like the people in Vietnam chill their red wine.
Yeah, it may have been a fluke, but the first time I saw it, I was in Dalat. Mm-hmm. And Dalat is actually, and maybe I'm wrong, but they're known for their red wine, or the special type of red wine that they have. It's almost like a strawberry.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That they make there. There's a vineyard in Dalat now.
I don't know if it's a vineyard. I didn't see it, uh-huh. but when we're there, that's what we're told. It's like the referred to as the Paris of Vietnam.
Huh.
They had a mini Eiffel Tower and everything.
Things have changed.
And we went to a restaurant, ordered red wine, and it was chilled. And I figured maybe, I mean, Dalat's not that hot of a city.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought maybe it's a type of wine or something. And so we went to the coastal city, Mui Ne, and for whatever reason, ordered wine. I don't know why. Because we had seafood, so it's an odd choice. But it came to us in a bucket of ice. And so I thought, okay, well, I guess that's just
nothing.
Yeah. So it was tasty, though. No, I liked it.
Interesting. I loved the section that in the you know, respect that you give pho in your book. And I particularly smiled when some of the interviewees were discussing how it is, in fact, a cure-all for the hangover.
Yes. That's what I've been told. And for a cold, I know that I've had, you know, some late nights and the next day a bowl of pho just seems like such a good meal. I think a lot of it's just because, to me, it almost reminds me of like having chicken soup when I'm little, when I'm sick. It's just a comfort type food, but it's not greasy, it's not too heavy, so it's something fresh. And I think those flavors, those bright flavors, kind of are invigorating, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's filling, but it's not like you don't feel like you ate too much at the same time.
Yes.
So
that's true. And there's salts. So if you're dehydrated, then it rejuvenates you, and there's salts in it, too.
That's right.
I've also heard that. And it sounds like it was your first kind of introduction, and it was your gateway food.
Yes. The first meal I had was a bowl of pho, and I arrived in Vietnam late at night.
Here or in Vietnam?
In Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
I arrived late at night, and I went straight to the hotel. My friends were still out, and so I went to the hotel and went to sleep. And we woke up the next morning, and it was early because we went to get an early start on things and go, you know, do whatever it was that we were doing. And so since they had been there a couple of days, they kind of knew, you know, some of the places to go to eat and that kind of thing. And it was this little pho shop just right outside of the guest house. And it wasn't just that shop, but it was just all throughout the alley. They had these little pho shops, and there's people eating pho at 7 in the morning. And to me, it seemed kind of like an odd choice to have soup for breakfast. But we had our pho with Cafe Suida, and it was awesome. And I was still really early, and I was still kind of new to chopsticks with the pho. And so I'm making a mess. It's like splashing everywhere. And I was like, my gosh, why haven't I done this before? I mean, this is a great idea. But
something warm to get your body started, I think.
Yeah,
is the theory.
There's some carbs in there, and so it kind of gives you some energy, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
and you have, it sounds like a future cookbook in the works. Is that?
It is. It's being discussed with a publishing company, and then also with Anthony Tran at Mary Queen of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
It was through Mr. Tran that some of that signing books at TED Festival happened. You know, I contacted him a few weeks before the festival, and we met and formed a friendship. I mean, he's just so nice. And I sold most of the books there, and so we talked Great. About maybe doing another project, and thought about maybe a cookbook, because the only thing that I wanted to change about this book was that there wasn't enough recipes. I had a short time frame to put all this together, and getting some of those recipes is difficult because they've been passed down from generation to generation. My hope was to make this book in both Vietnamese and in English.
Great.
You know, have someone translate the recipes, because I wanted it to also be for the Vietnamese community. Mr. Tran said that they're trying to build a park across from Mary Queen of Vietnam. And so I was hoping that maybe this could be sort of like a fundraiser. You know, part of the proceeds can be a donation to the park. So it'd strictly be a cookbook with Vietnamese recipes from the community. And then the other project that is related to this topic is I'm making updates to the film. The film has gotten a really good response, but since it came out, so much has already changed. A couple of restaurants have closed, and gosh, like 10 have opened. And so I was hoping to maybe add some of those newer restaurants in there and put a new spin on it.
Great. And do you have any links that you want to share with our listeners where they can check out your stuff? Or?
Sure. My website is called littlepepperproductions.com. And I'm on Twitter, La Little Pepper, and that's about it. But most of my work, at least the work that was posted online, is available on my website. Some publications are only in print format, but I try to be good about posting, you know, upcoming projects and things like that. So.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
That's Vietnola for today. Thank you so much for joining us at home, at work, on your phone, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And a special thanks to today's guest, Suzanne Pfefferle. Our show is produced by Kim Vu, Tom Lasher, and Grant Morris. Our technical director is Chris Kehoe. Our theme song was composed by Taylor Smith and performed by the Swamp Lilies. The fabulous audio quality of this show is brought to you in part by PreSonus Audio Electronics. PreSonus makes some of the best audio recording and live sounding products, including Studio One music production software, Studio Live digital mixing consoles, Aeris studio monitors, and much more. Visit www.presonus.com for more information. You can follow us on Twitter at It's New Orleans. You can like us on Facebook. We're at It's New Orleans. And you can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. You can listen to our other Vietnola shows on our website, itsneworleans.com, as well as our other shows, Happy Hour, Out to Lunch, Mindset, True to the Game, and Midnight Menu Plus One. Keep up with all kinds of fun happenings here at Vietnola by getting on our mailing list. Sign up on our website, itsneworleans.com. Vietnola was recorded today in the lovely city of New Orleans. If you'd like to be a guest on Vietnola, we'd love to have you. Drop us a line. You'll find all the information you need on our website. Vietnola is produced by INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com. For everyone here at Vietnola, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you back here next week for our next episode of Vietnola. Until then, I'm Kim Vu. Bye-bye.